had been cast out of a city or town. The Apostle Paul, when he'd go to a new city, he would not go down and check out the Hilton. He'd go down and check out the local jail, because he knew if he preached as God had called him to, that's where he'd spend the night.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're interviewing today a very dear friend of ours and a knowledgeable person on the subject in particular that we're talking about, Blake Harbor. Brother Blake has been involved in the process of reviewing books in the local school board libraries and what the students view as textbook material, as well as being involved with others in surrounding county school boards. And I am prayerful that you're listening intently. I'm looking, Blake, at Matthew 18:6. But whosoever shall offend one of the little ones which believe in me, it is better for a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we need to be very, very careful as to what we allow to take place in our school system. I've called, for 50 years, I've called them the governmentally controlled school system. Many people refer to it as the public school. No, it's the governmentally controlled educational process. It is the indoctrination system of our kids as they go through the process. It is the brainwashing. In fact, most in our public school system, most of the professors in our higher education, most of those that are involved in the educational system are under the thumb of the National Teachers Union and the educational unions that demand that this sort of garbage be taught in our classrooms. And it's a very difficult thing to find it, root it out, cleanse it, and to remove it from our school shelves. And I'm thankful that we have those that are pushing to have that done, to be a part of it. Just before the news break, ladies and gentlemen, we talked about the inappropriate material that's in these textbooks. It is simply, as I call it, the porn text. It is the porn text. It is simply teaching the kids to hate America, to hate God, and to view sexuality in a perverted fashion where they embrace the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. They embrace the DEI. They embrace everything that's anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-church, anti-America, even to the point of hating and refusing to pledge allegiance to the flag. We're growing up anti-Americans in our educational system, and we're growing up anti-Americans in the educational system with perverted minds and hearts as a result of what they're being shown, what they're being taught in the in and through the so-called educational system in the educational material. Now, Blake, just before the news break, I touched on a question that I'm going to go back and reiterate. Dr. Bernier, the new superintendent of schools, I watched some of his interviews. I've listened to some of his dialogue and diatribe. Between me and you and God, you can disagree, but that's perfectly all right. I am not a fan of Dr. Bernier. I was not a fan of Dr. Green. In fact, about a dozen times on the radio broadcast, I asked Dr. Green, if you're listening, if somebody gets the news to you, please resign. And I'm thankful that finally, somebody, maybe it was God that got their heart and not me. But I'm not satisfied with any president, any superintendent of schools that's not willing to jump on board 100% with the cleansing of the libraries and the classrooms of the textbooks that you're finding in our classrooms and in the textbooks. Tell me where he stands, in your opinion.
Okay, in my opinion, first of all, some people do have issues with Bernier, Dr. Bernier. And I do call him, I do reference to him as Dr. Bernier, because many people hang on that PhD status over and above their true qualifications. Mm-hmm. I believe he's genuinely qualified. When I watch him at the meetings and listen to him, I believe he's generally qualified. What I have tried to do, and I think it's been successful because it's true on his side, is I've tried to build a relationship.
Yes.
With him. I said, we're in this together. Mm-hmm. And he even made a comment, because he came up from Lee County, about how he liked that the Lee County process for challenging books. So I attack this issue from the standpoint of protecting children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And at the last school board meeting, these people who were taking up positions as principals, he gave them two charges. One, to educate the children, but two, to protect their welfare, take care of them, keep them safe. So I believe when it comes to this particular issue, I believe we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have his personal phone number.
Good.
And I haven't called it, but there, I hope that there isn't a time that I have to call it, because I don't call somebody in that position unless something bad has happened or something serious has to be addressed quickly.
Absolutely, I agree.
So he's been open to me. He's been available to me. We have good interaction with each other. But
That's refreshing to hear. Go ahead.
Right. What I want, we talked for a moment before about who's on the school board. And first of all, I'll tell you the two people that we need to get rid of on the school board. One of them is Cindy Pearson,
mm-hmm.
And the other one is Darrell Willie.
Hold your thoughts for just a moment. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes. Concerning funding for the school board, I believe that the new school board is doing better than the makeup of the previous school board. Kudos to them, good. But I am against increasing any taxes to pay for the schools.
Absolutely.
The first thing that the school board should do is cut the number of administrative positions, the non-teaching staff. We don't need them. The schools are to teach the three R's. Also, concerning when the buildings are leaking and all of that, well, that means that the school board didn't do its job. I taught for 38 years at FSCJ, and every year we got a budget. And part of that budget included capital outlay that was for new buildings and repairs that was being done every year.
Mm-hmm.
But the school board didn't do any repairs for years. That is why the buildings began to leak.
That's right.
They didn't do a good job using the funding every single year. Also, anything that is not for the three R's should be cut, like the sports program.
Derby, I'm in agreement with what you're saying. In fact, I'm going to do some broadcast, Lord willing, on the subject of that being on the ballot for November about allowing the 1% sales tax to continue. The citizens bought into it on a short-term basis. That short term is up. And you can't then turn around and say, well, we still need you to do this, this, and this because there's still a need for money. No, no, no. Where does it end? Where does it stop? Take the money that you're getting, use it wisely. And as you said, I believe they could cut 50% of the top leadership out of the school board and still not touch the paycheck for the teachers that's carrying the load. So I'm in full agreement with you on that. And I believe that we could do a lot in relationship to removing the garbage from the classroom if we had other school board members that are in the position that a few of them are. And Blake's going to talk about that in a moment, about those school board members that are adamantly opposed to cleansing the shelves of the porn in the classroom, and those that need to be replaced if they stand against the movement to cleanse those books. That's my position. Derby, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Marshall is on the line. Marshall, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Doc. You've already breached the question that I want to ask Blake Harper, but I do want to make a very necessary comment before. And that is, what I hear on the radio today, Dr. Youngblood and Blake Harper together, is a power team that I'd love to see even more active in Northeast Florida. You, Doc, are one of the most unheralded heroes in the Northeast Florida region, and your footprint is even bigger in all that that you have done over the years. But Blake is probably a gift to Northeast Florida that they don't understand. This man works selflessly, as you have, at great personal expense and other things to himself, to declare who the enemy is accurately, mm-hmm. and to define what actions need to be taken to preserve Jacksonville from the further corruption that we see there just by the evidence of the woman that heads up, who's the mayor of this city. Mm-hmm. That said, I'd like to ask Blake, probably putting you on the spot, maybe jeopardizing your program, this question. There are people out there like Donna Deegan who sound the death knell for Jacksonville and what it has stood for. Jacksonville has been a conservative, Christ-oriented city for a long time, but a few years ago it began to go south real quickly. And Donna Deegan, I think, is God's way of telling us what a mess we're in. That said, Blake, are you willing to, and can you identify a handful of people in this city that you interact with that you know are the most dangerous to the welfare, and particularly to the Christians in Duval County in Northeast Florida, because of your interactions with them? You are probably, and I'm saying this sincerely, and I want people to hear it, you are one of the most gifted people with respect to expression that I've known. You write well, you speak well. I know your personal circumstances, and you can't afford to be doing what you're doing, but you're doing it. So thank you for that, and you and Doc are an amazing team just in this hour on the radio. So thank you for being on, and I'm done.
Marshall, thank you so much. You touched on several very interesting, very pertinent points that I believe we need to address. You've not destroyed anything of the broadcast or the future of it by calling names. I believe that as Christians, we need to take a stand for morals, ethics, and values. I think we need to be salt and light. I think that we need to be the watchman on the wall. I think that we need to call out sin, sin. I think that we need to stand and call those that are, as call it the ace in the spades, if you're a gambling person, as to what that would mean. I believe that we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, be verbal, vocal, and ultimately victorious as Christians. I think for too long, Marshall and for Blake, I believe for too long, Christians have been silent. Christians have hidden under the bed. Christians have stayed in the closet and have not come out to be the salt and light God's called us to be. Blake, can you answer Marshall's question briefly?
Yes, and it's interesting you say that because you've alluded to that. First of all, I want to go back to your scripture reading about hurting the little ones. There are two types of sin. There's a sin of the actual act, mm-hmm. of doing the bad thing, which is commission, mm-hmm. and there's a sin of not doing what needs to be done. That's sin of omission. And they're equal. Mm-hmm. And we suffer today in our city because of the sin of omission. Mm-hmm. And we suffer today in our city because of the sin of omission within the body of Christ. And it's we suffer today because the image that is presented in the church body today is of a perfect spotless lamb, not the Lion of Judah. Mm-hmm. You cannot have one without the other.
Right.
If we do not have discipline, if we don't put guardrails and establish those guardrails and make fix those guardrails and stand by those guardrails, then we get what we have. So that's the first general comment. Marshall asked about identifying who I thought were the single greatest threat to our city. Real quick, back in our days, because we all have balding pates. The Lord said to a precious few, gave wisdom; the rest He gave hair. We're all getting wiser every day.
That's right.
Back in there was a time when one might consider that the Democrat Party did not hate America, mm-hmm. But they do, mm-hmm. And it's clear that they do. Not only do they hate America today, they engage in deceptions and propaganda and false narratives that hide that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a categorical thing to say that, first of all, you have to take a look at the Democrat Party and who the elected officials are in the Democrat Party.
Actually, it's because the Democratic Party has become the Socialist Marxist Communist Party today.
Right, right.
I don't think you could identify it any other way.
Right. And so elected officials who and people who are tied to that are the primary adversary. But here's the other part, and it goes back to the omission. We have Republicans who are putting money into Democrat candidates.
Mm-hmm.
That is hypocrisy.
In specific, the future re-election of the mayor.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But that has a secondary and tertiary consequence, and that is the Democrats don't have to put money into re-electing Donna Deegan. Mm-hmm. What they can do is they can take that money and go attack other positions on the city council and the school board.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in a very difficult position, and what we have to do is school board members and city council members who are first Republican, but second they're genuinely conservative. We have to fight like the Dickens to keep them in place.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads me to the other point that I was wanting to make before the break. We're coming up on elections, and we have a lot of people who want to run. And my comment to people is, and this goes back to the issue about the budget with the school board.
Yes.
We need people who are subject matter experts at a very high level. People who know budgets, people who know how to deal with contracts. In the case of Jacksonville land use and zoning, we need people who know these things. One of the things I loved about Danny Becton was, man, he was a beast when it came to finance and LUC. I mean, nobody could touch him. We need those kind of people running for office, and we need to support those kind of people.
Yes.
Because those are the people who will make the policies and pass the laws and take the actions that are necessary to bring us back in line. And they've got to have a spine. You know, it's one thing to campaign saying I'm this or I'm that, but they need to be ready to go down to the mat.
Yes,
and they're not willing to go down to the mat. Mm-hmm. And people and they're out on the campaign trail and they're doing what they're doing, and that's fine. But I always ask the question: what technical knowledge do you bring to the table that you can make informed decisions and be part of
my question phase? Historically is what qualifies you to run.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Right.
Vetting the candidate is what I stress so much on this broadcast. I believe Lily's on the line. Lily, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you very much. I'm thinking that America, is hated. The demonic, the powers of darkness, because number one is its greatest economy, and number two, our Judeo-Christian heritage. So it is in the interest of the powers of darkness to crush America. And that has been, in doing it, they are able to find haters of America or make haters or children were to hate this country. So the whole effort now is to get America down, and to get America down, they are working on our children. And I tell you, I think that we have got. I'm concerned that we've gone too far. We don't know if we can, because with Islamic takeover, it's gone far, but it has been coming decades ago. And I'm fully in agreement with you that a lot of the blame at the feet of the church, the believer, the clergy. If the church stood up over the years and stood up for what we believe, the Bible, America wouldn't be where it is. But at this time, it's far gone, and to only on the mercy of God. As I intercede and pray, I can only trust God and to wake up, because that is the answer.
Lily, you're right on target with what you're saying, and I believe it's time Christians not just intercede by prayer, but become salt and light in the society in which we're living in. I believe there are enough Christians in America to turn America right side up for Christ in 24 hours. If we wake up, sit up, be heard, be seen, be obedient to the Word of God, that's the challenge, that's the call, that's the need even today. And what we're doing in our public educational system today, we're training God haters, Christ haters, Bible haters, American haters, parental haters, that's causing the vote to see what's taking place in America with the socialist, Marxist, communist regime taking positions on boards of education, taking positions as mayors and governors, etc., etc., etc. Some of the newest governors, some of the newest mayors that we see taking office today are those that hate America and believe that Palestine is the best place and believe that somehow, some way, we should pervert the minds and the hearts of our sons and daughters in the governmentally controlled schools. So it deserves our prayer and our attention very, very much. Lily, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Blake, go ahead.
I want to respond to Lily because we know faith without works is dead.
That's right.
We know that we are to be his hands and feet. What I try to share with people is what happened at Rephidim when the Israelites engaged in a battle with the Amalekites.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses is on the hill while Aaron is down on the bottom, or is Joshua down
the
bottom? Joshua's down the bottom, and he's praying, and he has his hands up. And when his hands are up, Joshua is winning. But when his hands come down, Joshua is losing. Well, Aaron and Hur come to his aid and lift his hands up. And by keeping his hands and his arms up and lifting them that way, Joshua defeated the Amalekites. And the whole point of this is this. We are faced with an adversary who wants to intimidate us.
Yes.
Satan is roaring like a lion looking for souls to steal. We cannot be intimidated. Charlie Kirk made this comment, recited this quote, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." If we have given our hearts to the Lord, and it's not a question, it's a given, it's an if-then kind of thing, not a question if you have, but having given your heart to the Lord, your future, your destiny is certain. You know you're going to be in heaven with him forever, mm-hmm. in a place of amazing, amazing wonder. That gives you the strength in this time, in this place, to do the work, the difficult work that we know that we need to do. We know the work is out there. Over and over and over again, we have proven, I have, other people have proven, that when you engage in the public square, you can have an impact and you can change things. We have to understand and take into our heart, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Absolutely. Well spoken, Blake. We've got just a few moments left on airtime today. I want to wrap it up with a couple of questions. Do we have any legal precedents from local courts, state courts, or Supreme Court that gives guidance with what we're doing?
That we have things that support us and make it possible for us to do. And this, it, most importantly, coming from the Supreme Court, there are three decisions, Ginsburg decision, the Miller decision, and the PICO decision, which guide us in what
Summarize
we do.
Summarize those.
Miller was a circumstance back in 1968 when a 16-year-old went in and bought some girly magazines up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And the decision, very simply, was this. First of all, obscenity is variable. And these are things we as Christians know. And that variability is based on whether somebody is an adult or a child. So the definition of obscenity for a child is far more loose and far more open than it is for an adult. That's the first thing. The second thing is, it says that policy, governmental bodies have a responsibility to the, protect the welfare of the children, that that welfare is not just a physical welfare, but the mental and psychological welfare. So that's the first one. Miller came along and established obscenity with respect to adults. And when you hear about the American Library Association, what they're trying to do is they're trying to destroy this last one, PICO, and they're trying to destroy Ginsburg by saying we should allow children to be able to read anything they want to read at all. Mm-hmm. That's what their Freedom to Read Act, that's what their Library Bill of Rights Act is. So we have Ginsburg, we have Miller, and finally we have PICO. And that PICO is what we work with. And basically it says, with regards to students, there are two criteria. One, if it's pervasively vulgar, and two, if it's inappropriate for the age of the child.
Mm-hmm. Very clear.
Absolutely. So when you read off that list, which I don't have, you know, worse pen better than the best memory. You got my best memory mm-hmm. right there. We look at things from beyond the pornography, because what American Library Association wants to do is they want us to default to the Miller test, and they want to talk about pornography and obscenity. We work with the PICO test, which is the most recent and the most accurate Supreme Court decision, mm-hmm. which says children are to be considered, students are to be considered in a different light than adults. And that's what drives the work we're doing.
Two questions blended together for our exit question today, Blake. Who are the school board members that stand against the cleansing of these books? And secondly, what is the ultimate goal that you have for what we're doing?
Well, first of all, these are based on words and actions, and so this is not a personal opinion. Cindy Pearson, who represents the part of Jacksonville basically extending from San Marco down to Mandarin. Mm-hmm. She made some terrible, terrible comments at the last two city council meetings. And then Daryl Willey. And then the other part of it is everybody who is on that side of the issue, on that side of the aisle. Because basically it's Democrats who are the ones that have been pushing this. Mm-hmm. So every Democrat school board member and every weak-kneed Republican that's been on the school board are responsible for where we are.
Basically a microscopic view of what we're seeing taking place in Washington.
It's happening here in Jacksonville.
Absolutely.
The school board and the city. Yes, sir. And what was the other part of that question?
And the second part of the question, what's the ultimate goal? What do we want to achieve? And then tell our listeners how they can reach you again.
We want to restore libraries back to what they were.
All right.
That's it. Bottom line.
How can people reach you?
LibraryRestorationProject@gmail.com.
And is there a number that they can text you a question?
They can text me a question at 904-240-9855.
Blake Harper. Blake, thank you so much for your time today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.